Hi. You are not going to like me very much today, but hang in there with me, and at the end, you'll be glad you did. I'm going to let God hit us all in the head with a 2x4. And so here we go. Title of the sermon, No Option. Matthew 18. Verses 21 through 35. Okay, the parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? And he's trying to get in good with Jesus, and he says, up to seven times? I mean, that's pretty good, right, Jesus? And Jesus answers, I'll tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Sue and I, we have a deal. I have a clicker, and it's one of those things that you count people when they come to an event. You just push a little button, and it counts the number of people who go through the door. And so when Susan messes up and she sins, I get that little clicker out. And pray for her because she's up to 63 times I've had to forgive her. Now, you know I'm kidding. Don't tell her I said that. All right. 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this time, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. Now remember, he owed 10,000 bags of gold. Here's what happens next, starting at 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, about $100. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay it back. Then the master called the swoop. Missed one. I'm at 30. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. Oh boy, you're in trouble. We're gonna tell on you. You are in deep yogurt. That's not in scripture. They were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Okay, here it is. Here's the 2x4 about to be upside our heads. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Let me read that again. This is why the sermon title is No Option. Listen to it again. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. I guess from your heart means you can't fake it. You can't just say it. You can't pretend. You have to really forgive from your heart. All right, well, you're probably going where I went when I read that verse. But Lord, they lied about me. They ruined my reputation. I mean, they just out and out lied. And the Holy Spirit in your core of your being is whispering to you, yeah, I know all about that. I was lied about. Well, they abandoned me when I needed it most, when I was really in trouble. They just left me. They abandoned me. Again, that little voice from the Holy Spirit says, yeah, been there, done that. I was completely abandoned. And then we take it to another level because we're, but Lord, they abused me. They physically abused me. They mentally abused me. And again, the Holy Spirit's response is, yeah, I was definitely abused, spit on, beard pulled out, beaten beyond recognition, a crown of thorns slammed down into his head, scourged 39 times. A scourge isn't just a whip. It's got rock and metal. And it hits the base of your neck and it's pulled down your back until literally your internal organs can be seen. And then he was nailed to a cross. His hands and feet were nailed to a cross. And again, he was mocked. So the one thing that I would say to you, and I would say to myself, is the good news is we have a Jesus who loves us, who calls us friend, who gets it, who gets the lies, the abandonment, the abuse. He gets it. And I don't think any of us have been beaten beyond recognition. Some have. But I don't think any of us have been crucified. And so our excuses, our rationalizations don't go very far when we understand what they did to Jesus. I'm going to take you back to 1973. And we're going to go back to Sacagawea Junior High School. We're going to go to the eighth grade hallway. I'm in the eighth grade. And as I tell you this story, I see the linoleum. I see the bulletin boards. I see the lockers. I can smell the smells. I can feel the vibe. And it was my day to have the mean girls come and get me. And there was one main mean girl, and there was an entourage, and they walked up to me, and they basically said, in not a nice way, that nobody liked me, everybody hated me, go eat worms. That I'm downplaying that a little bit, and they really, really let me have it verbally. Now, I'm a words of affirmation guy, so man, this had a sledgehammer impact on my heart. Now, when you're in conflict, there's three things that can happen. You can fight. I'm smart enough to know that you don't hit girls. You can run, but then you're like a chicken, and you don't want to be known in the eighth grade as a big chicken, right? And so I froze. I just froze. I didn't know what to do. And it just seemed like it was taking hours to just stand there, and you know, you don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger, and you don't spit into the wind, and you don't cry because some mean girls were mean to you, and you're in the eighth grade standing in the hall and you're crying. And trust me, I heard about that for several weeks after that incident, and I was so shamed and embarrassed. And so One Valley girl told me the next time that happens to me, she said, just faint, like just pass out. I was like, whew, I wish I would have thought of that. I don't know how realistic that is, but it's definitely a fourth choice. But it, what it caused me to do is make a vow. And the vow was, I will never run, I will never freeze, I will never cry, I will fight. Now, maybe not physically, but I'm going to fight verbally, and I'm going to fight in body language, and I am not going to take it. Well, guess how that worked out for me from the eighth grade until many, many years later. I mean, they owned me. It was just so stuck in my craw, and it just affected so many relationships. And to be honest with you, a lot of the times I felt threatened, I wasn't being threatened. It was just fear rose up, and I went into fight mode. Again, not physically, but verbally and with body language. Forgiveness, I really want to make sure you hear this. Okay, so it's still not okay when people harm you. It's not okay. Forgiveness does not mean you put yourself in harm's way again. You don't have to put yourself in a position where they get to hurt you again. That's not what forgiveness is. And forgiveness does not mean that what they did was okay. It does not mean you have to pursue them or hang out with them. But what it does mean is you are set free from their juju. And what do I mean by juju? Where they own your head space and your heart space, and you are literally shackled in that unforgiveness that then moves to bitterness. And then you're shackled. And obviously that's why God wants you to forgive. He wants you set free. So if the passage I read you wasn't enough, listen to these commands. Luke 6, 27 through 35. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you and turn the other cheek. Luke 6, 27, 35 continues. They want your coat? Give them your shirt too. Do to others as you would want them to do to you. Those are hard. Now, the one thing that I don't want to forget to say is when Jesus was hanging on the cross, one of the things he yells out is, Father, why have you abandoned me? So talk about betrayal. I mean, God the Father turns his back, has to turn his back, and all the sins of the world, past, future, come on him. Now, I can't prove this with scripture, but I believe that Jesus died of a broken heart, not of his wounds. And if you think about it, I think you'll agree with me. Talk about abuse. Talk about being harmed, right? And this is what he says. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Only love could say that. Unconditional love. Aren't you glad he said that? Colossians 3:13. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, if there was a giant screen behind me and they showed all the bad things, horrible things, embarrassing things, wrong things I have done, I wouldn't pass out. Like Cynthia Webster told me to do. She's the one that said, when that happens to you, just pass out. I would die. I would die of embarrassment. And so would you. If your sins, when you were really at your worst, was all shown to everybody on a screen, you would literally die of embarrassment. And I would die of embarrassment. So God is saying, you forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. So you're forgiven. You are forgiven. And if you don't forgive, then you're like that guy in that parable where you don't give grace. You've received all this grace and you refuse to give grace. And what did he call him? You wicked servant. Wicked. We don't want that. And so this is a command. This is something that we need to obey. Here's a great quote from Barnabas. In light of all that God has forgiven you for, how then can you refuse to forgive others? Let that sink in. One more time. In light of all that God has forgiven you for, how then can you refuse to forgive others? Unforgiveness. You've probably heard this before, but it's good. It needs to be repeated. Unforgiveness is like eating rat poison then waiting for the other person to die. Dumb. Now, because I couldn't forgive the mean girls, because it was stuck in my craw, they for years took up large sizes of gray matter in my real estate in my head. But even worse, in my heart, okay, the way I would describe it is they owned me. They owned me. They weren't thinking about me. They were, oh gosh, we sure were mean to Brad. We're so sorry. I bet they didn't think anything about that. But I thought about it, and I replayed it, and it messed me up. But I got to say this. I won every argument in my car, undefeated. And here's what I mean by that. I would yell at them. When I was alone in my car, I'd remember the right things to say that I didn't say when I froze. And I just give it to them. And they're not there, but I'm giving it to them. And then I pull up to a light, and I'm just going off. And the person next to me pulls up and sees me going off and then mouths the words to me because they know me, right? The person that pulls up knows me and goes, "Are you okay?" And I'm not okay. And neither are you when you're in unforgiveness that then moves to bitterness. And you might win that because you know all the right things to say when you're by yourself in your car and you have that, you have it out with them in the car. You win every match, but you're a mess. Luke 6:38. Going to pile it on here a little bit, right? Luke 6:38 says, "For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So if you love well, that will be measured back to you. If you love well, you will be loved well. If you are a giver, if you are generous, people will be generous to you. But it also fits our sermon, which is if you don't measure forgiveness, no forgiveness will be measured to you. That's how it works. Ouch. All of you know somebody, and because we're on film, we're on video, you're not going to point them out or elbow them in the service. That I'm going to tell them not to do that. But they're a bitter old fool. Because of unforgiveness, they have been eaten up alive by the enemy. And all... they're so bitter, and everything they say and their attitude and even in their countenance is bitter. I think God would say to all of us, avoid the bitter old fool with everything you have. And if you are a bitter old fool, you know it. And you need to repent and forgive and be set free. So I went to a retreat, was going to help others, going to learn these principles, these practices, this process to help people in recovery. And I went there to learn to come back and help them. But God met me there. It was in Las Vegas, Nevada. And God just showed up, and we were talking about forgiveness. And he said, as plain as day, not an audible voice, but within my spirit, he said, "You want to forgive the mean girls? You want to get rid of that?" And I was ready. And I did. And I prayed that prayer. And I felt it leave me. But you see, one of the things that we forget is that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of the air. Now, I'm not saying I was demon-possessed, and I'm not saying that if you have unforgiveness, you're demon-possessed. I'm not saying that, but you can. They love to attach to that. The demonic, your enemy, loves to attach to that and stir that up and progress it to a place of unbelievable bitterness. So that's just one more reason to go, no, I'm not going to do that. And God set me free in Las Vegas at that workshop. That night I was in my hotel room, and about 2 o'clock in the morning I hear a bang on the door. Drunk people, Vegas, they're just having fun. And they continue to bang until finally I opened the door, and an authoritarian voice said, "Open up." And it was a woman. And I said, "Well, show me your credentials." And she flashed a badge. And so she just barged her way into my room, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, "What's going on? You stole this room." And she's got her finger, and pretty soon she's poking me in the chest. And she's in full uniform, and she's a mean girl in my hotel room. And she's accusing me of stealing the room, that I somehow stole the room. And I sat down on the bed, and she was over top of me. And I got to tell you, man, that is a pet peeve. I do not want a woman over the top of me, poking me in the chest and calling me a thief. But it was strange because I didn't react. And all I did was I showed her my key and I said, "Well, this is how I got in. This is my key." And then I handed her the phone, which was right there. And I said, "Call down and you'll see that my name's Brad Bramlett and I'm supposed to be in this room." And she gets on the phone and I hear this, "Oh, yeah, oh, okay, all right." And she hangs up the phone and she walks out of my room. No apology, no "I'm sorry," "Hey, we blew it, please forgive it," nothing, just walked out of the room. I'm like, I'm getting a free room. I'll probably have my whole week paid for what just happened. And the Holy Spirit said, "No, no, you're not." That was a test. Do you not get that, Brad? That was a test. The enemy had you for years, had you, and I set you free. And the enemy came to try to steal that away from you, and they couldn't do it. And that's exactly what happened. I was set free, and I'm still set free. And I'm not saying that I don't, you know, things don't rise up in me, but I quickly, by the Holy Spirit's power, I'm just like, no, I'm free of that. And that's what I want for you too. And that's why I wanted to do this sermon, is because somebody out there that's listening needs to hear this. Remember what I said, you're not going to like it. And nobody likes it, you know, no choice, you've got to do this. But the reason why is because Jesus died on that cross to set you free. Now, obviously, you're probably, most likely, no, you're not going to be able to do this on your own. I couldn't do it on my own. It was the Holy Spirit's power that set me free. In Ephesians 3, it says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And you cannot believe that God would ask you to do this and not give you the power to do it. So you're not on your own. You're not on your own. If God asks you to forgive, He will give you the power from on high. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you to forgive. So lean on Him, count on Him, give it to Him. So it starts out, man, you gotta forgive. If you don't, then you're not going to be forgiven. And that's a hard one, like really. And we know that God is pretty serious. Well, He's very serious about this. And you can do it with the power of God, and you too will be set free. It's so awesome. Don't be shackled by unforgiveness. Don't be handcuffed with bitterness and unforgiveness. Let's pray. Lord, I know that those listening, many have gone through horrific abuse, neglect, abandonment. They've been lied about, left out, left behind. And Lord, it hurts. But Jesus, the one thing I know is you get our hurt. You relate to us. You went through much pain, indescribable pain. So when we get hurt, you get it, and your heart breaks for us. But Lord, you want us to forgive because that sets us free. They can't own us. They can't take up space in our heads and in our hearts. We give it to you and we say, yes, Lord, I choose to forgive. God, give me the power to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening.